Well, welcome to Basic Freedom Prayer Training, Day 2. Today is really where we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of how to do freedom prayer. And I'm kind of waiting for the people that are still in the foyer to come in. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, clearly. It's just so hard to get people to be warm and welcoming and start chatting with each other. Oh, I'm glad you're back this morning. I want to start off this morning. We kind of laid some foundation work yesterday talking about the seed principle and that the bad fruit in our life and the people that we're praying for, that bad fruit comes from a seed. It comes from a lie or something that we believe that's in our heart, where we're really in agreement with the enemy instead of being in agreement with God. And once Jesus meets us at that point and we have a chance to agree with God, then the seed gets uprooted. And all of that death, that bad fruit, is instantly removed, and God's life can come in and into our life. That revelation and that life of God can come into our life. So I hope that your minds and your hearts are open this morning as we go through this. I feel like a lot of some of the things that we talk about, that we talked about last night, starting last night, and some of the things that we're talking about today, probably for each one of you, there's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a point where it's like, what? I've never heard that before. I've never thought about it that way before. Can that really be true? What does that mean for me? I mean, I think that's real common. But I just also believe that there's going to be a challenge for each one of you today as we're going through some of this stuff. There's going to be things that are new to you. And all I ask is that, and I think this is what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants us to be open, right? It's like this. In my life right now, I believe that I'm right about everything I believe. Because if I knew I was wrong, then I would know I was wrong, right? And so until I am challenged in one of those beliefs, I think I'm right until I'm challenged, and then I start to consider that I might be wrong. And so I'm okay with opening my heart and allowing God to challenge me, because unless I come to that challenge, I'll always think I'm right, even when I'm wrong. And I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live in deception. I don't want to live thinking that I'm right, and being sincere in that belief, but being wrong. And there's been lots of times in my life where that's been true. And so I want to have an open heart and an open life before God so that he can challenge those belief systems in me where I've always believed that I was right, and then he can challenge it. So let's talk about getting started. And when you get... Alan mentioned it last night, but freedom prayer, normally when I'm setting up a session with freedom prayer with somebody, I plan on 2 hours. 2 hours, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours is usually about how long it takes to sit down and pray with someone. I've gone a little bit longer than that in some cases, but really this is emotionally draining if you're the person being prayed for. And so 2 hours is about the length that anyone can really stand to go through that. So, but just plan, know as you're planning to sit down with someone, an hour and a half to 2 hours is usually about how long it takes. Sometimes people ask me, okay, so you mean Jesus heals these lies and then it's permanent? I mean, it's done, it's over, you don't have to do that again? And yes, that's what we mean. You don't have to do it again. And that's something that you will begin to have more confidence in, but as you're sitting down to pray with someone, a lot of times people need that reassurance. You mean God can do this thing? Yeah, he can. And it's one of the reasons why it's so important for you to be prayed for, because you need a story that you can tell someone else to give them faith, to give them courage. A lot of times when people come to me for freedom prayer the first time, and sometimes even after that, they're really nervous. They're really, really afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. And I think a lot of that is just internally. It's a spiritual dimension, like that they know that something's about to happen, but they don't know what it is. They know it's going to be big, but they're not sure. And there's usually people are worried about, what am I going to have to reveal? You know, what's God going to bring up? You know, I'm not even sure what this thing is. It's a hard thing to come to someone, especially if it's a stranger or whatever. Maybe even if it's your best friend, it's hard to open up your heart to God and to you to let someone pray for you. So you want to have a story that you can tell that makes them feel more at ease and builds their faith so that they believe that this really is going to work for them. So you want to encourage. One of the things you want to do when you sit down with someone to pray for them is you want to be able to encourage them, to let them know it's okay that you're nervous, because most people are. And God, Jesus is here. He was here. He's here right now, and he's going to take care of you. And this is going to be okay. Freedom prayer, what happens in the freedom prayer session is confidential. You know, Alan and I are telling you guys lots of stories, but, you know, we're not using people's names. A lot of the stories that I tell, honestly, I've prayed for so many different people, they all start to kind of blur together. A lot of the stories become really similar. But when if I sat down to pray with you, what happens between us is confidential. I'm not going to go and tell somebody else. I don't go home and discuss freedom prayer sessions with my husband. You know, it stays with me. And I let people know, the only exception to that is if I'm praying for you and I get stuck and I'm not really sure what to do, then I think maybe I'm missing something, I will talk to Alan, because Alan and I have a lot of experience. We've prayed for a lot of people. And when we get stuck, we talk to each other just to see if I'm missing something. But even when I talk to Alan, I don't give him a lot of details. And I just let people know that up front. And most people are fine with that. They understand that. But it's okay if you let people know that, but it's more important that you do that, that you keep what happens in those sessions confidential. Another point, another thing that we learned early on when you're praying for people is don't promise to keep a secret. Don't swear yourself to secrecy. We've prayed for people that, it's interesting, praying for teenagers, you know. We let them know that if there's some activity they're involved with that is placing them in danger or that's endangering someone else, we're going to tell their parents. And we let them know that. And we're not going to be in a situation where someone says, well, I'll tell you this, but you can't tell anybody. No, because I don't want to put myself under that control. I need to be free to hear the Holy Spirit about what to do. So even though the sessions are confidential, if someone is involved in activity that is putting someone else at risk or putting themselves at risk, then I'm going to tell. Like, you are praying for... say you're praying for a man, and he is, his wife doesn't know, but this man has an addiction, a sexual addiction, and he's going out and visiting prostitutes. I'm not going to keep that a secret. His wife needs to know, because he's putting her in danger. You can imagine the kind of things that teenagers would do and want to keep a secret from their parents. If they're putting themselves or others in danger, we're going to let the parents know, hey, this is what's going on. So we just let people know that up front, that we are not going to keep secret things that are putting themselves or other people in danger. So just never swear yourself to secrecy with anyone. Now, that's sort of some basic guidelines in the very beginning of things that... I know when I'm going in to pray for someone for the first time. Now I want to talk to you about the connection between the lie and the emotions. So let's talk about what's going to happen when you sit down to do, you're going to sit down to do freedom prayer with someone, and so you're building up their confidence, and now you've already had all this preliminary discussion, and now you're getting ready to pray for someone. What are you going to do? What you're looking for, usually when people come to you, they're coming to you for some reason. There's bad fruit in their life. And by bad fruit, I mean there's anxiety, there's poor relationships, depression. I wrote down control here, but I really mean it's like a need to control. Like people come and they say, I'm controlling. I just can't stop it. I want to control everything. Anger, it could be bad habits. I mean, this is not... there's a lot more of things on this list, right? There's all kinds of reasons that people would come to you for freedom prayer. This is what we call bad fruit. But each one of these bad fruits is being driven by feelings, by emotions. Because the truth is, and I see this a lot with Christian people, people who have been in the church. We know the scriptures, and we know what's true up here. But I find myself responding in an opposite way to what I know to be true. And the reason I do that is because that lie, that seed, is planted in my heart, and it produces feelings. And when it really comes down to it, when I'm really in a crunch, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act according to my feelings, not according to what I know to be true. And so we respond and we react out of our feelings. And this, the seed that's been planted, is what's generating these feelings, and that's what's generating this bad fruit. So you start with the bad fruit, but what I'm doing when I'm in a freedom prayer session is I'm asking questions to try to get to this feeling. I want to find out what that emotion is, what that feeling is. What is the person feeling? Because those feelings are this path that I'm going to follow, and it's going to lead me back eventually to the seed. And another way of thinking about the seed is it's the lie. It's the lie that the person believes. It's that point where they're not in agreement with God. They've agreed with something else, and they don't know it. And so the feelings are what's going to lead me here. I had a young lady that came to me, and her presenting emotion, bad fruit. Actually, she had gotten a little bit past the bad fruit. She came to me originally for anxiety, but we had been praying for a while, and so now she's beginning to look for these emotions. And so this day she came in and she said, I just realized that I have this shame, this embarrassment, I feel like that, I'm ashamed of the work that I, she was an artist, okay? She said, I don't want to show my work to anybody. I don't want to reveal it to anybody. I don't want anyone to see it. And every time, if anyone asks me and they put pressure on me to see my work, I get angry. But it's because of this shame and this embarrassment that's there. And actually, this wasn't a freedom prayer session. This was just revelation that a friend of mine had. She said she just realized, in thinking about that shame and that embarrassment, God showed her that if she was embarrassed about her work, which her work came from her heart, right? It was a reflection of her. Then she was embarrassed about herself. It was really not her work so much as it was herself. She's embarrassed about herself. I'm not good enough. I'm ashamed of me. And then that verse, Romans 1:16 came up. I won't be ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to bring salvation. And she realized that if she was ashamed of her work, and that meant she was ashamed of herself, then she was ashamed of the gospel, because who we are, who God created us to be, is the gospel. It's the gospel message to the world. So when she was ashamed of her work, she was really ashamed of God, of who God made her to be. She was in disagreement with God. And so she repented, gave that up, said, God, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel anymore when the gospel is me and the work that I am producing out of the creativity that you placed inside of me. I won't be ashamed of that anymore. Now, I know this woman intimately, and I can tell you, even before she told me that story, I knew something had changed, because her whole attitude and demeanor about her work changed. In fact, that guard that was always up and that anger that was just always so there just was gone from that point on. She was more relaxed. That's how she seemed to me. She just seemed more relaxed and more at peace. And that's just true. That's what happens when we learn how to follow these emotions and we let God uproot these things. That's what happens. More peace, an ability to relax, an ability to be who I'm created to be, so that the gospel can go out into the world. And the gospel is just who I am in agreement with God. And it brings power to the world and to people around us. Okay, so when you're sitting down to pray for someone, I think one of the mistakes that people make first off is it's, especially if you've been involved in counseling, and especially if you've been involved maybe in church ministry, it's easy to get stuck in the bad fruit. And it's easy to start to want to give people advice, or maybe to give them scriptures to memorize, or give them things to do. That's not freedom prayer, and it's not going to work. You know, if they want that, they can go to a counselor, they can go and get discipleship. But good advice, how many of you know that, like, if you've ever struggled with these things, all the good advice in the world, even though you recognized it as good, didn't help. And so most of the people that are going to come to you realize that too. And so it's real important to get from here to here. And that's one of the hard things to do, and as we go, when we go into our small groups today, that's what we're going to demonstrate. I'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so there are some questions, and I've written down some of these questions in the manual so that you have a reference to them. Some of the questions that we ask as we're starting to interview someone, and we call this the interview. Just for lack of a better term, it's the interview. It sounds kind of clinical, but I don't mean for it to be, because it's really more just like chatting. What I think of when I'm sitting down with someone, I've told them my story. I want to build up their faith, to encourage them. I don't want them to be so tense they can't think. And I've explained to them that it's confidential. I don't want them to be worried about what they share with me. I may tell them, you know, I won't keep secrets. Most of the time, I just kind of wait for that to come up, because someone will say, you have to keep this a secret, and then I can talk to him about that. So I've done a lot of talking in the beginning, and now I want to ask questions so that they start talking. You know, okay, so you've come to me today because you're having anxiety attacks. Just tell me more about that. When's the last time that happened? You know, I'll just start to ask them questions. And sometimes, like in your groups today, Some of the people, as you're praying for one another, there is no presenting issue, because you guys came here to learn freedom prayer, not because you have stuff that you need prayer for specifically. So in a situation like that, I may just ask a question like, is there something about your life that you don't like? Is there something that is disturbing to you that is, you know, not the, you just realize something's not the way it should be? So those are the kind of questions that we'll ask to get started. What I'm looking for is the people respond, is I'm looking for statements of feeling, statements that give me a clue as to the emotion that's going on. Like someone may start off saying, I just worry about everything. I'm just worried all the time. It's like, okay, well, tell me about the last time you were just really worried about something. And as they start to tell me their story, I'm listening for statements like, well, when this happens, I just always have to do this. Or, I never feel like blah, blah, blah. Or, I have to. I just can't stop. Those kind of statements show that I'm compelled to do something. It's not necessarily what I want to do. It's just that it's like there's this path, and I have to follow it. I don't have a choice. It's like it's a deeply rutted path, and I can't get out of this rut. And so I'm listening for those statements that show me that there's a compulsion there. And so I'll just kind of hone in on that. I'll focus in on that, and I'll say, okay, so when you feel like you have to do this, or you just tell me more about that. What does that feel like? What does it feel like when you have to, or when you always, or when I can't stop? Sometimes people can tell you. Some people are good at expressing their emotions, and some people are really bad at expressing their emotions. And you just have to learn to deal with that, because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows exactly what they feel, and that's really what's important. And so I just get them to try to describe that feeling as much as they can. If they can't describe it, or they're not really in touch with it, I'll ask the Holy Spirit to come and show them. God, would you show show Kathy what she was feeling the last time she was worried. Would you just highlight that and just bring those feelings to the surface so that she can get in touch with them? I'll ask some kind of question like that. I'll just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead them. Sometimes people will say, oh, yeah, that felt bad. Like, okay, so bad. Can you tell me more about what does bad mean? What's another word you would use? I don't know. It was just bad. So it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, would you come and just allow them to feel that feeling? Now, Lord, would you lead them to other places where they felt bad? And I try to use the words they use. Repeat back. And so Jesus may take them to another memory. And a lot of times what Jesus does is he'll take people from a memory, maybe a memory that happened last week when Kathy was really worried. And then from there, she'll go to maybe something that happened 6 years ago. And then from there, she may go to something that happened in junior high. And then, you know, there may be several memories. And all the time, God is defining that emotion so that she can get hold of it. And I've got an example for that. I had a friend who came to me, and her presenting bad fruit was anger. So we started praying, and it's, again, just because someone comes to you with anger and you take them through this process and they get healed a certain way, absolutely doesn't, it doesn't mean anything about the next person that comes to you with anger, because you don't know where it's going to go. Only the Holy Spirit knows where it's going to go. And so you just have to listen and follow the Holy Spirit. So she came to me with anger. We started this process. I started asking Jesus to show her more about this emotion, more about what she was feeling. She went very quickly from anger to fear and anxiety. That was really what she was experiencing. And so we, and pressure. She said she had this pressure. She had a physical pressure in her chest. So sometimes when people experience emotions, it is a physical sensation in their body. And so sometimes you have to tell people that, look, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. He may come in a lot of different ways. You may see a picture. You may hear something in your head, you know, a statement. You may remember a memory. You may feel a physical sensation in your body, you know. Maybe your left wrist starts to hurt. I don't know what it'll be. But tell people, your job is really easy. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. All you have to do is relax and report to me anything that happens. If you remember something, tell me. If your left wrist starts to hurt, tell me. If you start to feel an emotion, just tell me. If you think some random thought that you think has nothing to do with this, tell me. Probably it does have everything to do with this. That's the Holy Spirit leading you. But even if it was just some random thought that you thought, Jesus is going to show us. I mean, there's no wrong answer here. So your job is real easy. Just report anything you feel, sense, see, hear, anything. And if you can get people to do that, the process goes a lot faster. So this lady, that's what she was doing. I asked her to just experience those feelings, that pressure, that fear, that anxiety, and I asked Jesus to lead her. And she went to several different memories and finally ended up in this memory on a playground where she had gone up to some girls that she thought would let her play with them. They were jumping rope, and she thought they would include her in this jump rope thing. And she went up and asked to be included, and instead of including her, they excluded her, and they made fun of her, and they rejected her. And she made a decision that she would never have anything to do with them again. But it wasn't just those girls that she decided not to have anything to do with. It was like this blanket overriding decision that she made that was guiding the rest of her life. I'll never have anything to do with anybody that I think might reject me. And so there was a lot of judgment and everything that went into that. When we got to that memory, the feeling that she was feeling when we finally got through it was rejection. I'm not good enough. That's a very different feeling from anger. It's a very different feeling from fear and anxiety. So as you're following this path, the feeling that you start with is not necessarily the feeling that's going to lead you to this lie, but you're on the path to that feeling. And one of the hardest things to do for me in the very beginning was to really hone in on the feeling that I was supposed to be following, that the Holy Spirit was leading me to. And for me, learning how to ask those questions that would allow people to reveal to me what they were feeling was really hard for me. That's why, it still kind of is hard for me. That's why I wrote them down in the manual. And I have my own like shorthand notation that I write in my notes. And sometimes I will even kind of write the question out before I ask it. It's like the Holy Spirit is leading me as I'm listening to the person. So that, because formulating those questions is what helps you follow these feelings. And that's what's real important, honing in on the feeling. Most of the time when people get stuck, in the beginning of Freedom Prayer, when you're learning how to do this, the reason they get stuck is because they don't have this. Because you don't have to have a lot of experience before, as you're listening. Okay, also your listening skills are really key. You've already picked up on that, but you have to be a really good listener. You learn to be a really good listener when you're doing Freedom Prayer. When you sit down and someone starts to reveal what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and Jesus has taken them all to these memories, it may not be clear to them what this is, but it's going to be start to be clear to you. Probably you're going to get an idea of what this lie is, what this lie that they believe. You're going to see it probably before they do. But if you try to go here before you fully engage these feelings, they're not going to be able to connect with it. So you have to follow the Holy Spirit's leading, and you have to connect with this feeling that's leading you here and allow the Holy Spirit to take you to this place. I don't want to tell someone what they believe. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what they believe so that they can see that agreement that they've made, and then they have a choice to lay that down and to trust Jesus and to agree with him. It doesn't do any good for me to tell them what they believe. They need to see it for themselves. So my only job is to follow the Holy Spirit, get a bead on this, and just allow this to take us to the lie. Okay. So I already mentioned that I take notes. I have my own shorthand, you know, ask Jesus to come. AJ2C is what I write down in my notes. And I take notes, and sometimes that makes people nervous. I just let them know I'm not going to show my notes to anybody. I mean, my notes are just me listening to them. And when I hear feeling statements, like I said, I try to repeat back the words they say. I'm not going to remember that unless I write it down. So if I'm listening and I hear a feeling statement or one of those statements like I always or I never or I have to or whatever, I write those down. Exactly, word for word, as much as I can, like they've said them. And if I hear something that I really believe is the Holy Spirit's leading me to that's a key feeling statement or that's a key statement for them, I may write it down and circle it. I have my own nomenclature as I'm leading Freedom Prayer. When God, like I believe God's revealing something to me, but I don't want to say it. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I make a little box or circle, and I write those things down in the box or the circle. So you'll develop your own style of taking notes, but I just encourage, most people that do Freedom Prayer have to take some kind of notes because you're trying to write down what the person is saying. And then I write down the memories too, at least the sketchy kind of outline, because, again, I pray for a lot of people, and so it all starts to blur together, and that way if I meet with you two or three times, it's like, oh yeah, I remember, we went to this memory before, and I can look back in my notes and kind of refresh my memory on what that memory was, because you may go to a memory, you know, two or three times in a different session. The most important thing about Freedom Prayer is the Holy Spirit is leading it. The Holy Spirit's in charge. He's the one that's leading. You are going to get stuck. Every time I pray, I get stuck. In fact, I think the thing I've learned after doing Freedom Prayer for so many years is that now I'm okay with getting stuck. And you have to come to that place where you're just okay with that because that's part of the process. So every time I get stuck, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, okay, God, I need to hear you. I need to know what's the next question I'm supposed to ask? How are you doing this? The Holy Spirit is the one who's leading. The prime directive of Freedom Prayer is follow the Holy Spirit. So if I ask a question and it's the wrong question, and I've done it hundreds of thousands of times, then Jesus won't answer. It's easy. It's like a self-correcting problem. If the person remembers something, but it's not a memory that Jesus led them to, maybe it's just something they remembered. When I ask Jesus and we try to explore that memory or we try to go somewhere, we're not going to go anywhere because that wasn't Jesus. It was something else. So if I make a mistake or the person I'm praying for makes a mistake in following the Holy Spirit's really patient. Jesus is really patient with us, and he just won't answer a question that's wrong. And usually I ask a question, and there's a pause, and it was the wrong question. And the person goes, I don't know. And it's like, oh, by that time, I've thought of another question. And so I just keep asking questions. The prime directive, you're going to follow the Holy Spirit, and you're just going to keep following. Sometimes when I'm stuck and I don't really know what's going on, I don't know what the next question is, I'll just say, Jesus, would you just come and reveal to them anything you want them to know? It's sort of like, a lot of times that works. It's amazing how many times that works. The thing that they think of or the thing that Jesus leads them to when they start to talk, it tells me the next question. It gives me the direction for the next point. So that's all we're doing. It's just I'm expecting Jesus to come and to lead them, and I'm expecting Jesus to lead me. Now, one of the things that I like to do, I like to have someone to pray with me, and it's one of the things we're going to talk more about today. If you're here to learn freedom prayer, one of the best ways that you can learn is to sit in with people that are doing freedom prayer. And you learn by observing, but you're not just observing. If you're there as the third person, you're there praying, and you're also listening to the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, I will sit in with Alan. I still sit in with Alan when he prays for people. And, I can tell, I've prayed with Alan enough now, I can tell when he's kind of stuck. And I'll think of something. I'll write him a note and pass him a note. The reason I do that is because if you're in freedom prayer, like I said, as the leader of freedom prayer, I don't want to lead you in what you should be thinking or believing. I want the Holy Spirit to bring that revelation to you. So as the third person in the room, I don't want to just blurt out what I think Jesus just showed me because I don't want to throw off what's going on. And so I'll write Alan a note and pass it to him, and that may help him to know how to get unstuck and move on, or he may just put the note aside. It's not for now. So as you're sitting in, as you're going to the groups today and you're an observer, have your notebook there and just write down things that you're thinking, questions you would have asked. Be engaged in the process, and that way you'll get more out of the group demonstration. So we're going to break up into our groups, and let me just give you a few guidelines about that before we do it. We have offices on this side of the building. There's three offices, and the ladies' groups are going to be in there. And then we've got the nursery, and we've got some classrooms on this side, and most of the men's groups, I think I've got one ladies' group up there, and most of the men's groups are going to be on this side of the building. So if we're going to be in women's and men's groups. So let's start with the men.